We're on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, after wishing everyone a Shavua Tov and Chorev Bari. We have a little piece before the Mishnah, which we wanted to finish up, and that starts with the word Ella on the second line. And we try to set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, if you recall. And the Gemara says that there's no need to do so. There's no contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Lo kasha ha Rabbi Shimon veha Rabbanan. And what it means is to find the Braisa that says you're not allowed to tie this cord, this string, from the kinar. That reflects the shita of Rabbi Shimon. And we're going to see that according to the Braisa, Aniva is the preferable method, because Aniva is not Kshira, according to Rav Shimon. Veha, and the Mishnah, is the Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon say that there's a difference between Machshirei Mitzvah, when you could have done it before Shabbos, that's not Docha Shabbos, as opposed to Machshire Mitzvah, where it was impossible to do it before Shabbos, and that would be Docha Shabbos. This Sanya, because we learned in the Braisa, Ben Levi, Shenifsika Lo Neima Bechinar, if the Levi on Shabbos finds a rip in one of the cords that he needs for this harp in order to play it at the time of the Hakrovas HaKorban Koshra, we say that Machshire Mitzvah Doches Shabbos, and therefore he's allowed to make a Kesher. But if, on the other hand, it was not Nifsuka B'Shabbos, for example, let's say he feels that he needs another string, that he wants to be Koveh Neima Mitchila, that would be also, because that's already Machshir Mitzvah Shaya Efshal Asosa May Erev Shabbos, and that's not Docha Shabbos. So that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Shimon Omer Onva. Rav Shimon finds a recommendation, even though he agrees fundamentally to the Tanakhama's view that Machshir Mitzvah are not Docha Shabbos, but on the other hand, there is a way of solving this problem in a case where he needs to do a kshira, and he could do instead an aniva, a bow. He can substitute a bow for a knot. And then the Braisa records a third shita, and that's Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, af hi, meaning whether it's aniva or kshira, eno mashmas es hakol, which means that there are no tikkunim to replace the sound of the kinar. And therefore, since in the case of kshiras, you have two minuses, right? In other words, you won't be able to really replace the cord and the sound. And also, it's an av malacha, therefore he's not allowed to do kshira. But there is another possibility. And just a second, let me just take care of one thing here. So again, if you joined just now, then we're about to start the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Gimel, but I just owe the Chevra, you don't have to listen, but a few more sentences before I start the Mishnah. Ella, Mishalshel, Milamata, Vekorech, Milamala. Or Mishalshel, Milamala, Vekorech, Milamata. So that again, you cannot do this tikkun as you would do it during the weekday. You have to do it in a very unusual way, which is called Mishalshel Milamata Vekorech Milamala, which means that instead of doing the normal Kshira, then we have to do an unusual Kshira. What does that mean? he says that he would repair the string by unwinding some of the surplus length of the broken string from the bottom peg extended to the top of the instrument, wind it around the top peg, or alternatively, he can unwind from the top peg, wind around the bottom peg. So each string was wound several times around pegs at the top and the bottom of the instrument. Instead of tying the two ends of the broken string together, he uses the surplus length of one half of the string and makes it extend all the way down to the other end of the instrument. And then he tightens the string by simply turning the peg in the usual manner until it produces the desired tone. So this is an act of forbidden labor, of course. It would be makabah patish. But unlike shira, it restores the proper tone to the broken string. So the Tanakhama in the Braisa will allow you to perform a mitzvah even if the preparation for Shabbos would entail a malacha if it was impossible to attend to it on Erev Shabbos. And therefore the Mishnah is consistent with that opinion. The Braisa, on the other hand, that only allows Aniva, that reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, because he holds that Aniva is not Kshira. The Ibayis Ema, the Gemara offers a second answer to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. Hava HaRabbanan, both the Mishnah and the Braisa reflect the opinion of the Chachamim, and they reject Rabbi Shimon. They hold that only if the mitzvah would have been impossible to prepare before Shabbos, only then does it docha Shabbos. V'lo kasha kan bi emtza kan min atzad. The Mishnah is talking about a case of a string that snapped in the middle. So if he wants to tie it properly, he's got to do a full-fledged kshira, otherwise it won't produce the sound. But kan min atzad, the Bryce is talking about a case where it snapped at one of the ends, and therefore all he needs is aniva. He needs nothing more than a bow. He doesn't require such fortification, and therefore a bow is sufficient. Ibaisema, a third answer would be hava ha b'emtza. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa are referring to a case where the string snapped in the middle, and we said that if it snapped in the middle, he's got to tie it properly. However, the Mishnah reflects the Shita of the Chachamim, whereas the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon. Mar Sovar, Rabbi Shimon holds Gazrinon, that we institute a Gzera, and we're not allowed to use a regular knot to repair a string that broke in the middle, because if we do so, he might be tempted to do the same thing in a string that broke at the end. And if it broke at the end, then all you need is aniva. Umar sover, but the Rabbanan hold against Rabbi Shimon that lo gazrina, we don't have a gzera, and we can tell him that he's allowed to repair the knot in the case of ba'emtza. We're not afraid that from that he'll come to even repair the knot when it's min atzad, when it's at the end. Okay, that's just to, well, we want to just finish up on what we discussed last week. And now we could start the Mishnah of Yabeles, which is a kind of a wart. And once again, the Mishnah has its goal to differentiate between the Beis HaMikdash and Medina, as far as Chituch Yabeles B'Shabes, which is a Derabbanan, and we're going to apply the principle of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. Chotchim Yabeles B'Migdash. So you have something that protrudes on the skin. We call it a wart. And it's on an animal. Now the animal is Kadosh L'Mizbeach, and it's Omed L'Hakrova. And if he doesn't take off the mum, this Yabeles is called a mum, it passes the carbon, and this animal cannot be brought as a carbon. And with regard to korbanos, the Torah says specifically in Vayikra Chaf Beis, Yabeles lo sakrivu elo Hashem. On the whole list that the Torah enumerates of various mumim that pasal a karba. One of them is called the abeles. And in the case of a kohen who's doing the avodah, the Mishnah establishes that mumim aposlim b'karbonos, aposlim gambo, that the same mumim that the Torah specifies and enumerates with regard to an animal apply to a human being, meaning to the kohen himself. So therefore, in the case of Yabelis b'migdosh, he's allowed to remove this Yabelis. Now, why is this only a derabbanan? So we're dealing now with a malacha called gozes, and the violation of gozes on a doraisa level only applies when you use a knife or some sort of shearing utensil, and that's called derech lechotcha besakin. Here, the Mishnah is addressing a different case where he removes the yalbelis by hand, and that's considered kilachar yad, which is a shinui, and therefore it's not a violation of the doraisa of meleches gozes, because he's not using a kli, it's biyad, and we apply the principle of ein shvus b'migdash, aval lo b'medina, outside the migdash, we're afraid that if we allow him to cut off this wart with his hand, manually, he might come to use a kli, to use a knife, and therefore the rabbanan asid it, even though he's only using his yad. Now, if on the other hand, he wants to remove this wart on Shabbos with a kli, im ba lechotcha bekli, like a sakin, is kan v'kan osur, even in the Beis HaMikdash, it's osur, because now he violates meleches gozes doraisa, and there's no heter in the Beis HaMikdash to violate a melecha doraisa. Now, all that I'm explaining is based on Rashi, who identifies chotech, anytime you cut something off of a living being, that is a tolda of gozes. The problem is, and there's a long discussion about this in Minchas Chinuch, in the Bir Aloch, in the Mishneh Berurah, that we have some Rishonim who hold that gziza, gozes, only applies when he wants to take something off and use it. Like, for example, if he shears the wool off the back of the sheep, then clearly he wants to take the wool with him. And that's called gozes. And when he takes off tsemer, then, but in the case of Abeles, he has no need to take off anything. I mean, he just wants to improve the body, not the, you know, the Abeles. He's not taking the wool. So this is a discussion in Minchas Chinuch, but the Bir Halacha claims that there's a fundamental machlokas in the Rishonim about gziza, when he doesn't need the object that he's, or the part of the object that he's cutting off, according to one sheet in the Rishonim, that's called a melacha shein tzricha legufa. He doesn't need the melacha for the purpose for which it was done in the Mishkan. So let's say in the Mishkan they needed the wool, so they did gziza. He doesn't need the wool, or in this case he doesn't need the abeles, therefore it's not a melacha tzricha legufa. The other Rishonim would say no, that the requirement of tzarech legiza is not just because of melacha shein tzricha legufa. It applies even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds melacha shein tzricha legufa chayav, because this is part of the very definition of the melacha. But the Mishnah Berurah wants to claim that our Mishnah reflects the shita that melacha shein tzricha legufa is potter aval asur against Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, or in this case Rabbi Shimon, would hold that now a melacha shein tzricha legufa in the case of gozes is reduced from the status of a doraisa to that of a derabbanan, and that's called potter aval asur. Again, it's not something that you and I would feel so comfortable with, because we don't want to assume that a stab Mishnah is against Rabbi Yehuda. But if, on the other hand, you hold Rabbi Yehuda, then it's a melacha shein tzricha legufa, which is chayav. So how can we allow it in Migdash. So the answer has to be that if we go with that Mahalach, we're going to say that either by using his hands, he's only violating a Durabbanon, but Eino Chinam, if he used this Kli, that would be Tzuras HaMalacha, not Kelachar Yad, but Kidarko. And if he does a Kidarko, even if he doesn't need it, meaning he doesn't need that wart that he's taking off, that he's removing, nevertheless, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Asur Midaraisa. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Ve'im B'Kli, Kan V'Kan Asur. If, on the other hand, we hold like Rav Shimon, that Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Potter Aval Asur, then even if he would use a Kli, there's no reason why it should be us in the Beis HaMikdash, because in the worst case scenario, it's a Malach HaShem Tzricha L'Gufa. And how much more so if you hold, like those Rishonim, that the need for the Giza is part of the very essence of the definition, so that even Rabbi Yehuda would say it's Patur. So then why should it be us in the Mikdash in the case where he uses a Kli? Even if he uses a Kli and it's not Kelachar Yad, I still have a different Patur, that he has no need and no use for the Giza, for that which he's cutting off. So we end up with a very strange kind of ukimta now. And we're saying that if you hold like Reb Shimon, that Malach HaShem Tzricha L'Gufa is Patur, this should be a classic case of Malach HaShem Tzricha L'Gufa. And this opens up the possibility that our Mishnah either reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, but if we don't want to go down that path, we can go down another path and say that Giza is the Malach is defined by the Maisa Giza, which means that if the Giza improves something, whether it be by taking that which he needs to cut off, or by improving that from which he's taking it off, in this case the body, which is now in better shape, it's improved once we take off the Yabeles, it's now no longer a psul of mum, that itself is a malacha d'oraisa of gozes, despite the fact that he has no need for the giza. Just improving the nigzas, that itself is enough of a malacha. And he quotes here the Ramban, that the Ramban holds that there is such a shita, and it's reflected here perhaps in our Mishnah, that malachas gozes would entail and encompass whether there was an improvement in the Giza itself or in the Nigzas. And this actually reflects the Shita of the Ramban with regard to Mila, that Mila is Doche Shabbos, meaning Bayom Hashmini Yimol B'sar Alas Afilu B'Shabbos, otherwise it would be a Malach of Gozes. Again, there are other Shitos about the Malacha involved in Mila, but if you hold it to Malach of Gozes, then obviously he has no need for the Arla, he needs to improve the child, but that itself is considered and constitutes a Malach of Gozes because he improves the Nigzas. And if you go with that Mahalach and those Rishonim, the Ramban, then our Mishnah makes perfect sense that the whole distinction between Migdash and Medina applies if he uses his Yad or if he uses a Kli, and the whole issue boils down to whether it's Kelachar Yad or Kidarko. And the only way we can reduce this Gozes to a Durabbanan is through Kelachar Yad in the case of Biyodo. And herein we're going to distinguish between Migdash and Medina, but in the case of Bekli, even in Migdash it's going to be also because we're dealing with a Malacha D'Oraisa of Gozes. So the Gemara immediately asks for a Minu, and the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim. The Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim addresses the case when there's an overlap between the 14th, that's the Erev Pesach, 14th of Nisan, and Shabbos. And on that day, the 14th of Nisan, we're obligated the mitzvah of Hakrovas Karvan Pesach. Now it's Shabbos. It's the 14th of Nisan and Shabbos. And the Mishnah establishes that, to some extent at least, the Hakrovas HaPesach overrides the Shabbos. Okay, now the Mishnah records a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. Herkevo vehava oso michutz l'tchum vechatichas yabalto ein dochin. We can add two words, es ha-shabbos. The Tanakama holds that when a person will place the seh of the Korban Pesach on his shoulders in order to bring it into the Azora, and in order to carry it into the Azora, he brings it from a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYochid. The Azora is surrounded by Mechitzos. Ein Dochen Es HaShabbos. We will not allow him to carry the Seh Arba Amos for the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. We will allow the actual akrova of the Pesach on Shabbos, but that which is necessary to bring the korban into the Azora and therefore violate the melacha of Hotzah, because now we're talking about Yudal Shachalios b'Shabbos, that we're not going to allow. And furthermore, hava oso michutz l'tchum, if the korban Pesach is outside the tchum, so it's more than 2,000 amma outside of the city boundaries, because we always give a tchum of 2,000 amma outside the city, but it's even further than that. And now he wants to bring the seh from chutz l'tchum for the sake of kakrovas ha-pesach. That's prohibited. And finally, the third case that's listed here, which is the most relevant to us, is chatichas yabelis. And that's not doche Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Dochin Es HaShabbos. Now, our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. And the Mishnah seems to have a flat, unqualified statement that we cannot cut off this Yabeles on Shabbos, assuming he does it Kedarko with a Kli, because that would be a violation of a Doraisa. And our Mishnah, let's assume, is reflective of the Tanakama in the Braisa of Rabbi Eliezer. But one second. I should say the Mishnah of Rabbi Eliezer. But one second, I don't understand, says the Gemara. There's a problem here, because the Tanakama of this Mishnah says that you're not allowed to cut off the Abelis. It's not Doche Shabbos. Now, if that Mishnah, which again is the anonymous opinion of the Tanakhama, he says it's also to cut off the Abeles, even for the sake of Hakrovas HaPesach, so the Seh now has a Mum, and you want to remove that Mum for the sake of Hakrovas HaPesach, then what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah here, which presumably reflects the same sheet as the Tanakhama, the Mishnah of Rabbi Eliezer and Psochim, our Mishnah says that you're allowed to cut off a Yabelis on Shabbos for the sake of Hakrova. The only problem is that you have to cut it off in an unusual way. So what the Gemara now is going to do is going to say that the Mishnah in Psochim is addressing a case of chatichas yabelis kidarko, meaning with a kli. But until the Gemara gets to that, the Gemara is first going to distinguish between two categories of yabelis. There's a yevesha and there's a lacha. And when the Gemara offers an alternative, it's to differentiate between our Mishnah, which is talking about the yado, whereas the Mishnah in Psachim is talking about Bikli, meaning he uses a sakin. So let's go through these two terutzim one at a time. The first is attributed to one of two shitos, either Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Yossi. We're not sure which of the two. And they say that Chad, Omar, one of these two opinions, Hava Ha Bilacha. Now, if the Yabeles has not yet dried up, it's still what we call moist skin, then it's an integral part of the goof of the body of the behema, and therefore it's a real Meleches Gozei. So when we talk about gezizo or gozes in Yabeles, we're talking about lacha. And therefore, we understand very well why the Mishnah in Psachim is going to prohibit cutting off the abeles. Let's assume he's using a kli. That's going to be... do we want to assume... Just give me a second. Are we assuming he's using a kli? Yeah. Even if we assume he's using a kli, we can still understand our Mishnah. Even though, obviously, in the Braisa, if he's using a kli, it's a Malacha d'Oraisa. How can you allow it in our Mishnah? The answer is, in our Mishnah, we're not going to be talking about a lacha, lokasha, kan biyad, kan bikli. Okay, so actually, what I suggest is the second answer. V'chad omar, hava ha biyad, v'lokasha ha bilacha, ha biyavesha. So again, the first answer, again, we don't know if it's Rav Elazar or it's Rav Yossi, but whoever it is, the difference between our Mishnah, which asers chatichas yabeles, which is matir chatichas yabeles, and the Braisa, which prohibits chatichas yabeles, is a difference between yad and kli. So even though we're talking about a lacha, which clearly indicates that we are involved in Meleches Gozes, but the Mishnah is matir in the case of Yad, because it's not the normal way that you would cut off the Abelas. So the Abelas per se, if you want to talk about the Chefza as opposed to the Maisa Gavra, the Chefza itself lends itself to Meleches Gozes, but the Gavra and the way he implemented the Melech of Gozes, he did it in an unusual way. That's our Mishnah. On the other hand, the Bryce is talking about where you could check off two boxes. You have the bad Yabelis, meaning the Lacha, which is a Hefter that lends itself to Gozes, and as far as the Maisa Gizo is concerned, he was Gozes Bekli, and therefore even the Maisa was done Kedarka. And that's why the Braisa prohibits Chatichas Yabel. So we have two conditions in the Braisa that are both met. You can check off, number one, it's Lacha. Number two, it's Kedarka, meaning he uses a Sakin. And therefore, the Braisa says that it's also, it's not Docher Shabbos. He's violating a full-fledged Meleches Gozes. It's both Lacha and Kedarka. Although our Mishnah is also addressing a case of Lacha, so the Chefza per se lends itself to Meleches Gozes, but the Gavra did a Kelachar Yad, and he ripped it off with his hand. The Chadomer, in the second opinion, to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa, is Hava Ha Biyad. Even the Mishnah is talking about, even the Braisa is talking about a case of Biyad. And if that be the case, then why does the Braisa prohibit it if it's only Biyad? The Mishnah says it's Mutter. Lokasha ha bilacha ha biyavesha. Now it seems to me that this second answer, which we'll go over and over and over again, is a radical departure from all the premises that we've been operating until now, because the Braisa itself is talking about chituch biyad. Now we said that if it's chituch biyad, that itself makes it into shelo kedarka. So why should the Braisa prohibit it? And we're talking now about Migdash. So let's go over it one more time. He says, ha bilacha, ha biyavesha. Our Mishnah is talking about a yavesha, and therefore the Chefetz itself of the Abels doesn't lend itself to Gozes. It's not even part of the goof. It's already dried up. It's like a scab is like a separate entity that's not part of the goof. And therefore, the Braisa would be matir. The Mishnah would be matir chatichas yabeles yevesha. On the other hand, the Braisa is talking about a case of yabeles lacha. Well, if it's lacha, then it lends itself to meleches gozes. But wait a second. You're saying hava habiyat. If it's hava habiyat, then even in the maximum worst case scenario of a lacha, it's only a violation of an isa d'rabbanan. And our Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about a case of chituch litzorach akrovas karbon. In fact, in the Braisa, it's black and white. We talk about a yabeles on a behema, and we're not going to allow you to take off this yabeles. Why? Because it's lacha. I call it the Braisa, you can call it the Mishnah Psachim. What do you mean it's lacha? So what if it's lacha? You just finished telling me that you're talking about a case of biyad. If it's biyad, then by definition, you're only in violation of an isa d'rabbanan because it's kelacha yad. So Rabosai, now we have to come up with a breakthrough, which we didn't have until now. And that is that the distinction between hechsher mitzvah, sheyochol lasos mibodyom, as opposed to yefshar mibodyom, that distinction applies even on a gzera d'rabbanan. So for the sake of the mitzvah of bringing the karban, we certainly think that we should allow the violation, if necessary, of an isa d'rabbanan, which would be, in this case, of lacha biyad. Biyad is only d'rabbanan. And therefore, for the sake of bringing this, you know, this Karban Pesach, we should certainly allow the violation of an Iser Derabbana. We're talking about Biyat. Biyat at maximum is only Gzera Derabbana. And the answer is that there are two types of Gzera Derabbanas. There's a Gzera Derabbanan of the Efshar Mibodyom, and there's an Gzera D'Rabbanan in the case of Efshar Mibodyom. And the fundamental distinction is going to be in the case of Migdash, because what we're going to say in Migdash is that even if you're dealing with a Shvus D'Rabbanan of Shabbos, in the case where the 14th of Nisan overlaps with Shabbos, we're still going to prohibit it because this is an Isur D'Rabbanan Sheyochol Hoya L'Sakno the Erev Shabbos, which means that already on Erev Shabbos he knew that there's the Abeles and that he wants to prepare this Seh for the Korban Pesach. He can only be machshered for the Korban Pesach by removing the Abeles. Well, why don't you do that on Erev Shabbos, so to speak? I don't mean Knas now. Don't misunderstand me, but I'm saying it's possible to have removed this Yabeles on Erev Shabbos. Now he wants to remove it on Shabbos. So we're going to tell you that even for the sake of a Karban, and even in the Migdash, we will not allow you to violate an Isa D'Rabbanan if you could have achieved it on Erev Shabbos. So that's what we call a case of lacha biyad, and it's only osa b'drabbanan because it's kelachar yad. They would not be matir this shvus in the Migdash because he could have cut it off with his hands again on Erev Shabbos. Again, Erev Shabbos, he would have used the kli. So, Rabosa, I think what we're talking about here in this sugya is the distinction between two types of gzeros. You can have a gzera which the Rabbanan prohibited because you might exchange one chefetz for another, and on Shabbos this particular chefetz, we'll call it A, is outside the purview of the malacha. The second object, B, would be a malacha d'oraisa. That's one situation which the Rabbanan were afraid that if they allow you in case A, you might come to violate it in case B. And then you have another problem in a d'rabbanan in which you implemented the malacha in a way that reduces the malacha from a doraisa down to a drabanon, like, for example, kalachar yad. And the distinction, and again, you know, intuitively, we might have said, you know, if you're making a distinction in these two categories, it could go either way. I could certainly have logically accepted the possibility that in the case where you're doing it kelachar yad, we could be mekil, in Migdash at least, with an Issa Shvus Rabbanon. And now the Gemara comes up with the exact opposite svara, that a much more fundamental richuk, if I could call it, a distance from the doraisas in the case where the cheftza doesn't lend itself to the malacha. Every malacha of the 39 malachas is done in a cheftza, an object. And we always have to define what is that object with regard to that particular malacha. So, for example, in the malacha of Gozes that we're dealing with today, what chefta lends itself to Meleches Gozes? A lacha, but not a yevesha. So now the second answer to the Gemara postulates the thesis that as soon as you get to the point in which you've changed the object, and we're dealing with not a lacha, but a yevesha, which we said is not part of the goof of the animal, then if you add another factor into the equation, namely that he removed it with his yad, that's not considered a malach at all. So when you reduce the malacha from kli to yad, in the case of lacha, which is the case addressed by the Mishnah in Psachim, then what you have is a yabeles lacha, which means the cheftza is included in the malacha, in the category of the malacha of Gozes. He, as a matter of fact, did it kelachar yad. Okay, kelach yad is a ptur, but the malach itself was done. So that when the Rabbanan say that in the case of lacha, we're not going to allow you to cut it off with your hand, what they're saying is, I mean, obviously they're saying that you might confuse it with a kli if we allow you to do it with your hand, but we have to add another dimension to the equation, and that is that you started with the chefta of lacha. What you're removing from the body of the animal is a abelis lacha, which is included in Meleches Gozes, because you're really cutting off, you know, you're virtually surgically removing part of the animal. That's Gozes. Narvas, you did it in an unusual way. You know, you did it with your teeth, you know, instead of doing it with your hand. In this case, you did it with your hand instead of doing it with a kli. So what we're going to say in that case is that the Rabbanon validated this Meloch of Gozes because you did it on a Yabeles Lacha, and now when the Rabbanan say we're afraid that next Shabbos you'll do it with a sakin, what the Rabbanan is saying is that even when you did it with a yad, because of the confusion between yad and kli, it is considered a Meleches Gozes, and therefore we're going to apply the principle and that limitation that what kind of malach is docha Shabbos, only a malach that was e'efshar mivodyon. But here we have a case of Efshar Mi'erev Shabbos, and we're going to apply the principle of Eino Dochas HaShabbos even to a Derabbanan. Why? Because the Rabbanan told us that this is considered Meleches Gozes. But on the other hand, in our Mishnah here in Masechta Erevin, when we have a double entendre, in other words, not only is it Biyad, but it's also Yabeles Yevesha. Once it's a Yabeles Yevesha, then we're talking about Xera, we're talking about something that's not really Gozes at all, it doesn't even have the basic conditions and requirements of Gozes, it's yevesha. Yevesha means it's not really part of the body. And certainly on a biblical level, that's what we're saying. It's not part of the body. That's not called gozes. Either opponent are worried that you'll jump to the conclusion, the mistaken conclusion, and you'll allow even in the case of a lacha. Okay, but now you're taking from outside the category of meleches gozes, and you're setting up a gzera inside the meleches gozes. That's already far removed. Conceptually, again, I'm not talking in terms of psychological reality. I'm just saying conceptually, what you're doing now is you're adding a ptur on top of hafka, meaning that yevesha is mufka from meleches gozes. So now you're going to talk about that gzera and another gzera of kelachar yad. Okay, I can understand that kelachar yad is a very serious gzera of lex, you know, he's going to mistakenly come to the conclusion that he's allowed to do the same and achieve the same goal now with a kli with the normal way of kidarko. I understand that. But at least grant me that you're beginning with a malacha drabana. You're beginning with an object that lends itself to that malacha. Only then will I say that kilachar yad is not enough to remove the status of the malacha drabanan, and therefore it's asur in Migdash insofar as he could have done it on Erev Shabbos. But if we combine, we piggyback both the Cheftza and the Maisa Agavra, meaning Yevesha together with Kelachar Yad, so it was Biyado on a Yevesha, then it's really a Gzera L'Gzera, and that's Mutu L'Chatchil. And the implication here would be that if you had Yevesha and Kelachar Yad, it would be Mutter even a Medina. Why? Because again, you're not talking about a Malacha Drabanan of Gozes. It can't be because a Yevesha is Mufka. Ella, what you're talking about, Gzera, that if we allow you to do it in the case of Yevesha, maybe next week you mistakenly think you're allowed even in the case of Lacha. And then to boot, you did a Kelachar Yad, and now we're going to afraid that not only will you mistakenly confuse Yevesha with Lacha, on top, you're going to confuse Yad with Kli. That's already Gzera L'Gzera. If, on the other hand, you have the basic requirements, the basic ingredients that make up Meleches Gozes, and that is you have a Yabelis Lacha, now, even though you did a Kelachar Yad, we can understand that we're not going to allow you to rip off this Yabeles Kelachar Yad. Okay, fine. But in Migdash, we'll allow it. But if it's a case where it's not only a Lacha with Kelachar Yad, but it's also a Yevesha with Kelachar Yad, then that already is Mutter. Now, again, you can argue, well, is it mutter litzar karmon, or is it mutter even b'medina? We have a principle that whenever it's asur b'medina, then it's asur, I'm sorry, then it's mutter b'migdash. So what happens now in the case of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah has a combination of Yevesha and Yad. So that's going to be our Mishnah. The Mishnah in Psachim is not talking about that. And the question is, what's going to be in our Mishnah if it's a combination of Yad and Yevesha? We said that that's already Exeil Exeir. That should be Mutter even in Medina, and yet our Mishnah only allows it in Migdash. Right? Chotchin Yabelis be Migdash, and we're talking about Biyad. Avalo be Medina, even though we're talking now, according to the second answer of the Gemara, about a Yabelis Yevesha. So I would have said to you that if it's a combination of the both, it's already a gzera l'gzera. he doesn't have the Chefza, it's Yevesha, and he doesn't have the Maisa Gavra, because it's not Kidarka, it's Kilachar Yad, when he pulls it off with his hand. So in the footnote, he quotes Tosfos. Rashi, on the one hand, says that Mikomakom Bekli Aser Gam Migdash, if he uses it Bekli, and he takes off a Yevesha, that would be Aser Migdash. Why? Because he's doing it Bekli. Shemesaken Esabahema Bepu'ula Nireis Kasias Meloch. So again, our Mishnah, just one second, there's something missing here. Our Mishnah is talking about a case of Yevesha and Biyad. Oh, so we said that Yevesha Biyad would be the difference between Migdash and Medina. Oh, so what would be the din if it was Yevesha Bekli? So Rashi says that Yevesha Bekli is Asur even in the Migdash. Why? Because Rashi says, even though he's using, even though he's taking off what? A Yevesha, nevertheless, he's using a Kli. So the Maisa Gavra is a Maisa of Gozes. The Chefta doesn't lend itself to Gozes because we're talking about a Yevesha. So in other words, we're saying that Yevesha Bekli would have the same status as Lacha Biyad. So we say that Lacha Biyad, since, just one second, we're saying, so it comes out that the Mishnah is only Matir B'Migdash if it's a case of Yevesha Biyad. So you're missing both a Tsuras Meleches Gozes, because he's doing it Biyad, and the Chefta of Gozes, which is only a Lacha. And if you're missing both, then we're going to be Materit B'Migdash. And if you cannot check off both boxes, and you can only check off one of the two, then it's going to be Osir even in Migdash. That's what the Gemara is saying about our Mishnah. So that means that even, that not only in the case of Yevesha, I'm sorry, that, let's say it this way, I think this is clearer. Only in the case of Yevesha Biyad will be Mater and Migdash. But this upgraded status of a Malacha Derabbanon, which is also even in Migdash, in a case of Yochel Mibojon, applies in one of two scenarios. Either if we take the Lach, I'm sorry, even if we take the Yavesh, and turn it into Yad, I'm sorry, and turn it into Kli. Or if we have Lach Biyad. So we spoke about Lach Biyad, and we said that the reason why that's also Migdash is simply because you have the Chefta that lends itself to Meleches Gozes. But now we're saying that Yovesh Bekli is Osir in Migdash. That's the Chiddush of Rashi. Even though you don't have the Chefta that lends itself to Gozes. But the answer is you did it Bekli. If you did it Bekli, you have the Tzura of Gozes. So there are two different ways now, two different methods by which we convert or upgrade a gzera to a malacha d'rabbana, such that it's asur in migdash. One is through the mechanism of the chefta. If the chefta is lacha, it's going to be asur in migdash, even though he's doing it piyad. And the other possibility is if the tsuras hamalacha is similar to Gozes, to the Dorais of the Malach. And that's going to be the case of Bikli. So now what we're saying in Rashi, which is not the way we understood the Gemara, is that Rashi is being mechadish to us, that there's no difference in terms of establishing the power and the stringency of the drabanan between the chefta and the maisa agav. They're both equal on the same level. It's only when you X both the chefta and the maisa gavra, then we're going to be matir in migdash. But if either the chefta of the malacha is present, even though he does a kilachar yad, or the tsuras hamalacha, the way that he implements the malacha, is present, even though he's lacking the chefta of the malacha, in both cases, whether it's the existence of the chefta without the maisa, or the maisa without the existence of the chefta, in both cases, it's going to be osur and migdash. Now, I'm not sure if this is just halach and gozes, and malachas gozes, or these are setting up rules that apply in all 39 malachas, that whenever you have a shvus drabanan, it's only when I can combine both the absence of the chefta and the unusual tsuras hamalacha, the gavra, only with that combination could we be matir in migdash. Now, let's go to Medina for a moment. In the case of Medina, we're going to aser it even if both are absent. You have a Yevesha Biyat. Again, that has nothing to do with the discrepancy that we presented between our Mishnah in Erevin and the Mishnah in Pesachim. This has to do with the Mishnah in Erevin that we're learning today. And that is that although in Migdash, if you have two chisronos, two minuses, both in the Chefta and in the Maisa Gavra, you could allow it in Migdash, even though it was Efshal Asosim Bodyom. In the case of Medina, we're going to prohibit it, even though it's Yevesha Biyad. Now, I want to read to you a two-line quote in the name of the Sfas Emes. Bitama Isr Bimedina Af Imhi Yevesha Fil Biyad Shegzerahi Otu Lacha Biyad. Again, I think he's leading up to our discussion here. What do you mean? A Gzera Otu Lacha Biyad? V'lacha b'yad osur otu lecha b'kli. For us. Says the Sfas Emes, D'ro chazal ligzar kan gzera ligzera. Avol b'migdash v'adei ein ligzar kach. Okay, you know, Kabbalah in a Kabbalah, but it doesn't make much sense. You know, at what point do you finally say it's a Gzera L'Gzera? But again, I think if in the light of Rashi's Chiddush, I understand what he's pointing out. That Rashi's Mechadish, that in Migdash, even in the case of Yevesha, Biyad is also. So in other words, what Rashi has accomplished for us is, in terms of whether or not we view this Isur D'Rabbanan as a Gzera or as a Malacha, to upgrade it to a more strict status, it goes both ways. It could either be a similarity in the Chefza, that you'll confuse Yevesha with Lacha, and therefore, I'm sorry, let's start it the other way around. That's good. I like the way we said it. That it could be Yevesha to Lacha, or it could be from Yad to Kli. And why in these two cases are we dealing with an upgraded status of a Gzera D'Rabbanan, such that even in the combination we'll still answer it at least by Medina? And the answer is because we have a similarity either in the Tzuras HaMalacha or in the Cheftza. So therefore, in the case of Yad B'Lacha, we have a similarity in the Cheftza. The Cheftza is included in the Parasha Meleches Gozeis Dorais. It's Lach. And in the case of Yevesha, we have a similarity to Meleches Gozeis in the Tzuras HaPa'ula, the way he implemented it, because he took a sakin and he cut off the abelis. The abelis is Yevesha. No. There is a Malachas Gozeis, even in the Yevesha. Why? Because when he uses a kli, we have the connection in the Tzuras HaMalach. That's enough to upgrade it. Says the Sfas Emes, that if it's Bekli, I'm sorry, if it's Biyad and it's Yevesha, it's also B'Medina. And Chachamim Ro Ligzar Kan Gzera Ligzera. Why? But I think the answer is because the Chachamim established or generated a similarity to Meleches Gozeis in one of two ways, either with the Cheftza or with the Tzuras HaPa'ula. And in either case, we're going to upgrade the status of the Gzera D'Rabbanan to that of a Malacha D'Rabbanan. It's a Malacha because the Cheftza lends itself to Malacha in the case of Lacha. It's a Malacha D'Rabbanan in the case of Kli, even though we're dealing with the Yevesha, because it's a Cheftza Malacha Mitzad, the similarity to the Tzuras HaPa'ula. Now, if we combine the two of them, what we have in the relationship between Lacha and Yevesha is the same as we find in the relationship between Yad and Kli. And in both cases, because we have... Yeah, again, it's a bit complicated because in the case of Yad and Kli, we start with the Cheftza. We have at least Lacha. But in the case where we have Yevesha plus Yad, then the Mimad of Shach, we don't have a Tzuras HaMalacha, or a, let's call it a Malacha D'Rabbanan, a Cheftza of a Malacha. We don't have the Cheftza, nor do we have the Maisa of Tzuras HaGavra. So what we're going to have to say, according to Sfas Emes, is that we divide up into two. We have a split.
And what we're going to say is that if in one case, in one scenario, the Rabbanan said that Yad is considered a malacha of Gozes, again, mid Rabbanan, and that's because we have the Heft of the malacha, meaning we have Lacha, that already allows me to upgrade the status of Kli to that of Yad. Meaning that we have a Tsuras HaMaloch. Why? Because in the case of Yad B'Lacha, we upgraded the status of Yad to Kli, and we made it into a Tzuris Meleches Gozeis Mirabbanan. You see, that's the Sfasevis' point. It's not shaykh to say that Mirabbanan, it's a Melacha and not a Gzera, simply because you have one of two. You have either A or B. You have the Heft of the Melacha without the Tzuris HaPa'ula, or you have the Tzuris HaPa'ula without the Heft of the Melacha. That would make no sense. In order to justify an upgraded status of a Malacha Drabbanan, you would have to say that they focused on each one of these two elements, whether it's Yad or whether it's Yevesha, and gave the status of the Malacha despite the fact that it's Yad, or despite the fact that it's Yevesha. And therefore, when you have the combination of the two, it's both Yad and Yevesha, it's not called Gzera L'Gzera. It's called a Malacha D'Rabban. Why? Because since in the case of Lacha with Yad, Lacha with Yad, we said that Yad is considered a Malacha of Gozes. Why? Because there's enough of a similarity between Yad and Kli to give it the status of a Maisa Meleches Gozes. That's going to apply even in the case of Yevesha, as far as Medina is concerned. That's what comes out according to Sfasevis. Again, I still maintain our original position, but without Rashi, and that is that if you have one of the two elements, then you could upgrade the Drabban into a Malacha. But not if you're missing both elements, because you neither have the Chefta that's included in Gozes, nor the Maisa, the Tzuras HaPa'ula, the Gavra as a Maisa Gozes. But the Sfasevis is saying that once, again, to interpret Rashi, because Rashi's saying that even in the absence of both, and you've got Yad and Yevesha, we're still going to aser it b'medina, and it's not considered gzera l'gzera, it's a malacha of gozeis mirabbanan, because in one of two scenarios, we upgraded either the chefza to the status of a chefza of malachas gozeis in the case of Yevesha, or the maisa gavra in the case of Yad, we upgraded it to the status of Kli, meaning it's a Tzuras HaPa'ula of Gozes, and therefore, since in those two cases we did so, then even in the overlap, it's not considered a Gzera L'Gzera. All right, Rabosei, this is where we're going to stop for today. This is a very profound sugya. So we're here on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, and we started the sugya. We didn't finish it by far, but I thought it would be important to set up at least the fundamental definitions here. And we are in the wide lines. We're up to the fourth of the wide lines. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. And we'll, in Emirtz Hashem, we'll be able to pick this up starting from Lamandi Omar tomorrow. So I made a note in my Gemara where we got up to, but sometimes I don't find the note if I use a different Gemara, so you'll remind me. So up to Laman Di Omar, which is in the wide lines 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth of the wide lines. Okay then, thank you very much, and I want to wish everyone a very great day.